1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. We're going to continue our study in 1 Peter, and just remind you that the book of 1 Peter was written by the disciple, the apostle, named Simon Peter. It was written to Jewish Christians that were dispersed around the Roman Empire. The provinces that they were in that Peter was writing to is mentioned in chapter 1, verse 1. And these Christians were, as we read, were some of the things that Peter said, were in at this particular time enduring persecutions and a tremendous amount of suffering. And as we've already seen in the first chapter, Peter is writing to encourage their faithfulness. He's writing to encourage them to praise God in spite of their circumstances. And as we talk about how we think about our circumstances determines how we react to those circumstances, how our attitude toward those circumstances determines how we react. That's why in chapter 1, verse 13, Peter wrote, "Gird up the loins of your mind." And Tom talked a little bit about on Sunday in the Sunday school lesson. We need to discipline our minds. We need to know that and live in the reality that for a Christian, God has a plan for our life. For every single one of us, God has a plan for our life. And there is nothing, no event, no happening, no circumstances that enters into our life unless God allows it. Nothing. Say, well, I'm a disobedient Christian. I'm into sin, and I'm sure these things are in my life because I've walked away some from God. I'm not on that straight and narrow path anyway, the way I should be. And that may be, but I'll still maintain that no punishment comes into a wayfaring Christian's life unless God allows it. Nothing comes into a Christian's life unless God allows it. And so, regardless of what happens, regardless of what circumstance we find ourselves in, and remember, Peter was writing to Christians that were going through a tremendous amount of suffering and persecution. And he said, I want you to live in this reality. I want you, regardless of the circumstances that are in your life, to trust God, to be faithful to Him, to praise Him, and to live a holy life. Now, I'll just tell you, this is the week where our Wednesday night Bible studies and our Sunday school lessons directly intersect. Okay, a little bit. Okay, 2 weeks ago, Tom taught on 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11. Okay, tonight we're going to talk about verse 12 and just the first part of verse 13. Okay, now our Sunday school lesson on Sunday starts with chapter 2, verses 11 and 12, and then it moves on to chapter 3, I think the first 12 verses for the rest of the lesson. So in all probability, and I don't know how the Lord's leading Brother Leonard, but in all probability, there'll be some repetition, at least for the first two verses. And again, I'll just tell you, if there is repetition, it's because God wants it, and it'll be for our benefit. Okay? And so don't think, well, I've heard this already. I've heard this before. I've heard this already. Just know that God wants you to hear it again. Okay? And He knows that you need it for a reason. So, in verses 11 and 12, again, Tom talked about verse 11 2 weeks ago. We're going to talk about verse 12 tonight. There's two exhortations. In verse 11, the exhortation is to abstain from fleshly lust. And Tom did a wonderful job 2 weeks ago talking about that. If you weren't here, go to the website, listen to his lesson, and get that lesson. Tonight, in verse 12, we come to the second exhortation, which is, and I'll just tell you before we even start, it's to maintain good conduct among the Gentiles, regardless of the circumstances that are going on in your life. Again, Peter was writing to Jewish Christians that were scattered throughout parts of the Roman Empire. In verse 11, he called them strangers and pilgrims. He says, you're living there, but you're not at home. You're a stranger. You're a pilgrim in a world that's not your home, much like we are today. We live in this world, but this world is not our home. We're just passing through. We're going to just spend a speck amount of time here compared to the eternity that we're going to spend in heaven. And so he says in verse 12, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Now that word conversation is not talking, it's not just talking about how we talk. It's our whole conduct. It's how we live our life. And that word honesty just doesn't mean the trait of honesty that we think about today when we use the word honesty. What Peter is saying is, when he says, having your conversation honest, what he's saying is, you need to let your whole life, the conduct of your whole life needs to be good. It needs to be Christian. It needs to be Christ-like. Because the strangers among whom you live, they may speak of you as evildoers. And, you know, today, this day was no different than our day. The world doesn't understand our priorities. If a Christian is really being a Christian and being Christ-like in their whole life, the world doesn't understand why they do what they do. There's people in your own family that are probably not saved, that if they examined your life, I've had people come up and tell me, my brother thinks I joined a cult. I said, what do you mean? He said, when I told him I go to church twice on Sunday, Wednesday night, tithe, and get involved in other stuff, he says, you've joined a cult. I'm worried about you. The world does not understand a Christian that's a Christian. The world does not understand somebody that their conversation is honest, as it's talking about in this verse. But as Brother Jeff pointed out a moment ago, they will see what we do. That's why it says, even though they may speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works, the world does watch. Individuals in our lives that we come in contact with do watch. And what they see is more convincing than what they hear. What they see us do and how we conduct our life and how we live our life has a tremendous amount more impact than what we profess to be. You see, we may profess to be something, but the proof of the pudding, and I wrote that in my notes, the proof of the pudding, I got to thinking, where does that phrase come from? The proof of the pudding. I'm going to Google it sometime and figure out who came up with the phrase, the proof of the pudding. But the proof of the pudding is not what we say with our mouth, but what shows up in how we live our life. Are we consistent? Are we a Christian over and over and over, regardless of the circumstances? I would remind you tonight, it's easy to be a Christian when everything is going good. It's easy to be Christ-like when we're on top of the world. But what happens when our world shakes? What happens when the earth quakes and a tsunami comes and we live in fear of nuclear poison day after day after day? We've been arrested by what's going on in Japan. I've thought over and over again the past week how quickly a person's life can change in a matter of a few minutes. I've tried to imagine what it would be like to have your home, your whole city, destroyed. I've tried to imagine what it would be like to have family members missing. Shoot, I didn't get to see Aaron for 13 days, and I thought I was going to die. But can you imagine what it would be like to go through what they did and not know where your wife was, where your husband was, where your children were, where your grandchildren were. Can you imagine what it must be like to get up every morning and not know if you're going to get anything to eat or anything to drink? Are you going to be cold? Are you going to be warm? And then to live in fear of, are you going to be poisoned by the radioactivity that is seeping out of these nuclear reactors? Can you imagine what it must be like to have every dream that you have for your life shattered? And I've asked myself over and over again the past few days, if that happened to me, would I still trust God? Would I still praise Him? Would I still stay faithful? And I'll be honest with you, I want to shake my head and say, yeah, I would. And sometimes I tell people, when they tell me what some of the things that are going on in their life, the tremendous tragedies sometimes that come into life, I have to catch myself, because I want to say, well, I know how you feel, when I really don't. And I would submit to you tonight that most, if not all of us tonight, have no idea what those people feel. And when I ask the question, would I still trust God? I want to shake my head and say, I hope so, but I don't know. Would I still praise Him? I hope so, but I don't know. Would I still stay faithful? I mean, if God took away and shattered every dream that I had, took away every possession, took away family members, would I still praise Him and trust Him? What Peter's saying is, that's when the world watches. When God shakes our world, when He takes things away from us that are important, when we want to look to heaven and say, God, why would you do this? I've been trying to serve you. I've been trying to do what's right. I've been trying to, you know, be pleasing to you. Why would you let this thing come into my life? And Peter's saying, what we do in those times, how we conduct our life, is it Christ-like? That's when the world watches. That's when it, and Peter's saying, regardless of the circumstance, let your conversation be honest. Now here's the truth. You know, they upgraded it from an 8.9 to a 9.0 earthquake on the Richter scale as they measure it. Some of us have 0.00000009 shakes in our life, and we fall down and we get up, and the world sometimes wonders whose side we're on. And Peter says, that's not the kind of Christianity the world needs to see. They need to see a Christianity, an honest conversation that is there regardless of the circumstance. Because he says, they're not just forming opinions about you. They're not just forming just opinions about me. They're forming opinions about our God. Our God. They may, by your good works, which they shall behold. And as Brother Jeff testified, we don't know who's watching. You don't know who's watching you. You don't even know in your family who is watching you. Most of the time we don't realize, when we live our life, we do not realize the number of people that are watching us. They may, by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God. You see, the way we live our life, our honest conversation, by that they will form an opinion about our God. It says, in the day of visitation. That phrase comes from Isaiah chapter 10, verse 3, where the Bible asks the questions, and what will ye do in the day of visitation? It's talking about the day of judgment. It's talking about the day of punishment, when God will punish sin, when God will judge sin. See, on that day, the sheep will be separated from the goats. He'll send some to his right hand and some to his left hand. Those that have rejected Jesus Christ and are still in their sin will be judged, cast into hell. The only way they can avoid that punishment for sin is through Jesus Christ. If you're here tonight and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, you may be a good person, but you're a sinner, and the Bible says the wages of sin is death. And the eternal destination that awaits all sinners that don't know Jesus Christ as their Savior is an eternal hell. There's no other way to escape. Jesus Christ is the only way to escape. But on that day of judgment, I mean, it'll be a day of rejoicing for some. For those that know Jesus Christ, our names will be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. We won't even stand before that judgment seat. So it'll be a day of rejoicing for us. But for those that don't know Jesus Christ, it'll be a day of judgment. And at that day, on that day, God will be glorified. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess. Every Gentile, every person that does, and I'm not talking about Gentiles that compared to Jews, I'm talking about people that don't know Jesus Christ as their Savior, will glorify God. And what Peter's saying, if we live our lives in the way that they should be lived, regardless of the circumstance, they can see the glory of God before they get to that day. They'll know on that day for sure. But if they can see Christians that are have an honest conversation, in other words, in every area of life, Christ-like, regardless of the circumstance, God will be glorified in heaven. Now, the first part of verse 13 is the introduction for the next few sections of this book. First part of verse 13 says, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. And Sunday school lesson on Sunday, and then our Bible studies for the next few weeks are going to talk about how, as a Christian who has an honest conversation, how we should conduct ourselves when it comes to our relationship with the government, to our employers, in our homes, all of life. How we should have that. It describes what that honest conversation is, how we should live our lives. But the basis for that conduct is this first phrase where it says, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. That word submit comes from the Greek word hypotasso. It means to arrange under. In other words, subjection, subordination. In the military context, it's used to express the idea of rank, where a soldier has a commanding officer or an officer over them, and you submit yourselves to their authority by arranging yourself under them. In the New Testament, it's used to talk about the relationship that children should have with parents, and servants should have with masters, and wives should have with husbands, and husbands should have with the Lord. And what Peter is saying is, if we're going to have this honest conversation, if we're going to live every area of our life in a Christ-like way, we need to place ourselves in submission in the structure that God has put us in Christian humility. And there's a cross tie between subjection and humility. A big part of humility is subjection. I take you to Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Jesus, God himself, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, humbled himself, submitted himself, became a servant, made in the likeness of men, became obedient even unto the death of the cross. And what Peter is saying, you want to live that honest conversation? You need to do that same thing to yourself in every ordinance of man, in every human institution relationship that God has put us in. To the government, to our masters or our employers, in our homes, in every area of life. And he says, you need to do it for the Lord's sake. Because I would remind you tonight as I close, our purpose is to bring glory to him. Our purpose as Christians is to bring glory to our Savior, to bring glory to our God. I mean, the main reason for our existence, look, if we weren't left on this earth for that purpose, to bring glory to God, the moment we got saved, God would take us to heaven. Why would he leave us in this mess? Huh? After we get saved. Why would he leave us here unless he had a purpose for us to accomplish? And that purpose for us to accomplish is to bring glory to him. We do that when we point people to Jesus. We do that when we tell people that Jesus is the only way to heaven. Take the Bible and share a tract with them and tell them how to get saved. But we also do that when we live our life in such a way that people can say they have an honest conversation. They're consistent in their Christian life. Over and over, time after time, regardless of the circumstance, they have an honest conversation. And we're going to talk, I'm out of time, but we're going to talk about what that means the next few weeks, when it comes to how we conduct ourselves in relationship to the government, as our relationship as employers and employees, our relationships as husbands and wives, and children and parents, and then in sort of a summary kind of section, in every area of life. So I just remind us as we leave tonight, somebody's watching us. Somebody is watching how, they're not just listening to what we say. They're watching how we live our life. And they're forming an opinion about our God. Our God. And how we live our life. Let's do our best to live it in such a way that we have an honest conversation. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for tonight, for each one that's here. I pray, Father, that Holy Spirit, you just speak to our hearts. You convict us. You just do in our lives what you know needs to be done. We wouldn't be here unless we wanted you to do that. We wouldn't waste our time by coming unless we wanted you to do something in us. And so I pray tonight we just give you every area of our life, every relationship, every ordinance of man. And we would say, Holy Spirit, make me like Jesus. Give me his spirit. Give me his humility. Help me to subject myself the way he did, so that others could see what kind of God I have and glorify him. Please dismiss us with your blessings. And I pray, Father, for all those that wanted to be here tonight that couldn't, for whatever the reason, bless them. Bring us back again at the next appointed time. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you for being here tonight. You're dismissed.